last week, 3-day design, Charlotte, on the development of the Monument Square continues to resonate with the greater Troy community. Our correspondent Dave Pablo has a few excerpts from last Thursday's gathering.
This is part two of our story on Troy's recent One Monument Square design charrette at the Art Center of the Capital Region. In its March press release, the city defined design charrette as follows. Quote, a charrette is an intensive planning and design session where residents, business owners, designers, and other stakeholders collaborate on a vision for development. A design charrette provides a forum for ideas which offers a unique opportunity to give designers immediate feedback while creating mutual authorship among participants in the plan. End quote. In part one, I reported on the first meeting of the charrette, a 3-hour presentation and workshop meant to gather community ideas. That occurred on a Monday. On the following Wednesday, the design team gathered people again to talk about what the response had been, what that could mean as far as the structures and layout, and what factors might mitigate the process. For example, various people had recommended interactive space, or civic space, housing, office space, parking, etc. But large sections of the property in question fall within the floodplain, and so there are restrictions on use of that land. However, the overall consensus indicated that people wanted a community space with a connection to the river. On Thursday, the design team, represented by Margaret Irwin, co-founder of River Street Planning and Development, Ian Law, the director of urban planning and design at Place Alliance, and Jeremy Kay, founder of Studio JDK, came back with a more refined design. I'm going to play back a portion of Ian Law's presentation and some excerpts from the Q&A. The basic ideas are the community people who showed up for the charrette predominantly want an interactive space oriented around a civic/community purpose. That said, there are developers and other people with financial interests in all this who thus far have preferred closed-door meetings, and they will almost certainly want a piece of the pie. Here's Ian Law.
So one of the big things that we've tried to kind of incorporate in all of our iterative process was finding a big civic indoor flexible space that potentially could take on the market or any other kind of flexible uses in the winter to have a more permanent home as well as just potential for other uses to take place in a civic way. And so the idea was to kind of shift it over to one side so that we could create this great outdoor civic environment. But to do that and to pull people out onto this space but make it feel contained so it just didn't bleed away, we also wanted to kind of align it. So we added some smaller architecture piece that would contain that street wall with nice, exciting architecture and kind of start to frame the view sheds out into the space as well as created opportunities for smaller kind of venue spaces. So within this space, and you're gonna kind of, again, you're gonna get to see all of this in three dimensions, which is a lot easier to understand. Over here where that blue box is, that would be a smaller venue. In the park, you know, you've got this great venue for thousands and thousands of people. But when a smaller event there, they feel like they're in the ocean. It's a huge space and it doesn't have the energy it needs for smaller events. So the idea here is we want this to be able to take on the personality that it can be everything. Also helping to kind of contain the space and anchor the view of the park. It's potentially a commercial space like a great bar grill type place that can take advantage of those vistas from an elevated perch, draw you in, help to activate that plaza space, and take advantage of the fact that we've got to step down into it. My partner Mark was talking about how a lot of the goals of this is how do we get down, how do we connect Monument Square down to the park in a really elegant way that works for everyone. So really, it needs to be this big pivot. No matter how we slice it, the One Monument Square development is really the southern terminus of the Riverfront Park. There's a natural pinch point with the existing building that sits over here, and so you know, whatever's done there is going to kind of anchor that southern end. And so it just makes a lot of sense to really engage it in a beautiful way and have an elegant and interactive way of getting up and pull you into downtown. So that's something that this is trying to do. I want to show you a few other slides, I think we're going to get into this, that just kind of talks about some of the things that we think that this space can do. So I'm just going to kind of flip through some imagery. Don't get caught up too much on the exact styles of the architecture or things, but it's more about some of the uses and functions that would be able to take place, because we think it represents a lot of what we heard over the course of these
days. And we chose these because they were more of the size of Troy and the size of the site?
Yeah, for the most part, that they we think that they're contextually make a lot of sense. So everything from, you know, movies on the plaza. It's big enough that you could, you know, have a seasonal ice skating rink and then take it down, and then in the summertime it's back to just being this great flexible plaza, and there's fantastic examples of it that we've scaled, and it could fit and still have plenty of pedestrian circulation to get around and be an exciting thing. It's where you put your Christmas tree, and then you can see this is that space. So back in the summer it just goes back to being great plaza space. Food festivals can happen all within that space. Anything that you can imagine, really. Again, from large, you know, 1,500, 2,000 person venues that would really be exciting in a spot like that, to stuff that's smaller, doing yoga or exercise out there in large groups. So, you know, weddings, graduations, backyard kind of elements could all happen in this space, and that's kind of the key, is just keeping it flexible. That brings us to a couple points that we had to do to kind of make some of the commercial partners, the private partners of this, potentially as part of the public-private partnership. In the big volume where the market space could be, we think maybe something that could be logical would be to add some commercial. So effectively, commercial office over top of 2 to 3 stories of the flexible market space, which, you know, potentially helps to start to fund this.
And here's one of the many astute comments from audience members.
I just want to, reiterate that I think this is a great concept. I like a lot of the visualness of it, and I like the uniqueness of it. I just got back from Buffalo, and so they just recently redid a whole area of downtown that was useless into Canal Side, which is very Buffalonian, and it now draws a ton of people. It's really vibrant, and I can see this being that for Troy, something uniquely Troy. But I guess one comment in addition is Buffalo somehow figured out how to fund that. Uh-huh. And so if we talk to Buffalo, what did you guys do? Where did you get the funding? Because there's some commercial, but there's a lot of open civic space. Yeah. I think that would help with the funding aspect.
We have the ability to do that as the partners. Yeah, it's a good suggestion.
And here's Margaret Irwin responding to my question.
So regarding the comment that you just made just now about there being like a month and various stakeholders, reviewing this kind of thing, how transparent is this going to be? Are we going to know, you know, who these stakeholders are, what they're really looking for?
I think that the idea with coming at this way is that it's a transparent process. You sometimes have to have a conversation with someone quietly so that they feel like they can tell you the whole story. You do. And I'm not going to tell you that won't happen and doesn't need to happen. But coming back, every step in this process, I hope, will come back to you. What's the potential RFP look like? What are the criteria we might use to judge ideas that come in? Can we make sure that they submit information so we can compare A to B to C? What are we going to ask for specifically by square foot? Who want to go out saying, the ownership of this piece is settled, it's going to operate this way? Will we know that? Those are all questions we should continue to talk about. And then when proposals come back, we should talk about them. And there are pieces of that are private. People provide financial information. You need them to do that. You want to know something. Maybe that's not the public piece. But as much as possible, while still creating a process in which someone will participate, this should continue along this path. And you shouldn't, I feel, you shouldn't have to react to something. You should just be part of the process of reviewing and making choices. We will not get everything we want. No one ever does. but we can make choices, and the community can make choices together to a greater degree than we might have in the past. And that's not a fault of anybody. It's just a different way of going forward. So my hope would be it's as transparent and as open for as long as it exists. But that's going to be on all of us to keep, you know, coming together and doing it.
So where does this project go from here? Margaret Irwin indicated that the process will likely slow down somewhat through August, but pick back up again in September. If you are concerned about where this project goes from here, probably best to keep up with it. For Hudson Mohawk Magazine, I'm Dave Pablo.
We'll have more time on the redevelopment process at Monument Square as the process continues.